I've got a message. It has nothing to do with anything I just said. But it is a message. It's part three of kind of this heart journey. And for me, it's a little bit like peeling a heart onion. I think that's a pretty good descriptor. If you haven't been here for a few weeks and you go, well, what's he talking about, this heart journey? I'm talking about how we came to buy this building and what the Lord's doing and what it means for us. Because the building is just a building, you know? It's just a building. But buying this building, God did all by himself. I mean, we were the ones to go sign the papers, but he provided and walked us through a journey that was so distinctly God, it couldn't be anything else but God. The whole effort for us to be here in this on this address in Menominee Falls, we didn't wake up and start some big building campaign and have some grand plan where he had maybe a artist rendition of a kind of building that we were looking for and give to us. In fact, we bought this building with no building campaign. And that is really unusual for a congregation, for a synagogue, for a church, for to not have a building campaign. I have never heard it before. But we did it because by God's own hand, he provided this place. And we did purchase it, but it was done in a way that God knew what we had and what we were striving for, how it fit with the vision that he has given us over these years. It was a very cool thing. And this is the start of the heart journey for us. We know our vision, Jew and Gentile, worshiping together in the ancient way. This is something that's a big piece of why we do what we do. And everything that we do has to run through that. So when we bought this building, we even reoriented this room so we would face east. In our last building, we would have to turn right during the Shema and face east. In this room, the only people who have to turn are the people on the stage. We laid out this room in ways that are distinctly, traditionally Jewish. We have a Ner Tamid, an eternal flame that's going to go up. We actually already have it. And you go, what is that? Well, stay tuned. You'll see it. Some of you know what it is, of course. And you go, hey, well, that's cool. We're going to get one. And it really is it's a neat one. It's custom made for us. It's an artist made. And we've got it. We just have to figure out how to put it up and where to put it and all these sorts of things. But we are distinct to that vision. And any building that we would buy had to fit with that. And the analogy that I had, and this is just something that I think through quite a bit, was the transition from Moses and Joshua. And I'm helping refresh memories and set up for today a little bit in this. Moses was really good at leading the Israelites for 40 years in a wilderness. He was really good at leading a nomadic group of people, wasn't he? 40 years, he did his job. He messed up. He had one kind of mess up in front of God, but he really knew how to lead. And God taught him. God himself taught Moses how to do this. But then later on, Joshua had to take over, and it was Joshua's job to lead into the promised land. And this is not the very best description, but I think of this building in a way like that promised land. I know it's not. I know it's not the promised land. I'm not trying to say it is in that way, but it's a bit of an analogy. It works for us because we used to meet on Capitol. It was a smaller building. It had smaller resources, smaller parking lot. Everything about it was smaller. And when we bought this building, it started to change things for us. And when the Israelites went when Joshua led them into the promised land, they started to change things for themselves. They went from being nomadic to now they have to plant crops. And they went from living out of tents or temporary shelters to now building a place that is a permanent home. They have a regular address. So the culture shift and the mindset shift that they went through must have been drastic, radical even. Now that they would have to fight through to get land, now they're fighting to keep land. Very different mentality. Even how to lead those troops. One, we're going from A to B, we're going to take this. And one, from how do we defend now? They didn't fight really a lot of defensive fighting until that point. There's some, but not a lot of it. So I think of this place being like the promised land for us. We're thinking how to be bigger here. And we really are becoming bigger minded here. We have this building, not just this room. We have this old chapel to use. We have this house that came with the property, 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. How do we use it? We have the grass itself. We have 2.1 acres. Of just lawn. And we joked about this in our last building, we had the median strip of grass. That was as close as we got to grass. Hey, kids, why don't you play in the grass? That was not a good thing for us to say back then. Here, there's grass all over the place. In fact, in the back, in our backyard, which is on this side of the... Where am I? On this side of the building, there's a little water runoff. And some points, it's like, sometimes of the year, it can be 10 or 12 feet wide. And there's muskrat in there, and there's all kinds of little crawfish. And I know because I've seen them, and I'm surprised that children don't hang out there after service. I'll be outside. Ah! You know, they haven't figured it out yet. So we're learning to think bigger here. We've got all this space, and sometimes we have this, and this is just my own observation. We seem to be sprawled out everywhere because we haven't figured out how to use spaces that we're in. It's a good problem, wouldn't you agree? But in this, and this was really what I spent a lot of time talking about, we have change. And we have an old way of thinking as a congregation on 99th and Capitol in Milwaukee. And now we're taking a new way of thinking as a congregation here on this unbelievably long address of Menominee Falls. You know what I'm talking about, these crazy Menominee Falls addresses? They're just not even slightly intuitive, are they? But it's a new way of thinking. It's a lot like when we give our life to the Lord. I mean, it's, you know, for everything I've talked about is corporate, but we can say the same thing individually. We, before the Lord, we have one way of thinking. We become a believer. Now we have another way of thinking. We realize that He is the Savior and we're with the Savior. That changes the whole view of everything that we do because He's the Savior overall. We won't even taste death in that way. And we've got challenges in life. Our bodies get older, they break down, they don't work so well. That doesn't mean we're less spiritual. That means our bodies just get older and they break down. But we change. Our mindset starts to shift. And it's a slow shift. The scriptures, we renew our mind day by day. It's a day by day effort. It's really all about battle for the mind, isn't it? We wake up, we get focused for the Lord no matter what happens. We stay with Him because our life is different and we've changed. Well, we change here corporately as well. Everything is just different. Carpeting on the stairs. Did you notice that? If you weren't here a couple weeks ago, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. We didn't have carpeting on our stairs. We have carpeting on our stairs. So if somebody falls, it's going to be harder to clean. I'm kidding. You know, I'm so excited to have carpet. Yes, we're going to put a railing up. Here's our challenge. We have to think about a railing that we can take down for special functions. There's nothing that says wedding more, there's nothing that says wedding less than having a railing that parts the bride and groom. You know what I mean? So we have to have a railing that we can take down for weddings or maybe funerals. We have the old chapel also for weddings and funerals. We've already had several weddings in the old chapel. We're building a pavilion on site. We're not even sure exactly what we're building it for, but we know we're going to use it. This way, we're thinking it's different. And if you're new to Beth Messiah, you should know this is a different time for us. We got a lot of people on vacation, by the way. I'll tell you that. I know there's quite a number out. It's different for them, too. These are big times for us. And how we handle change and how we go through this. Change is not easy for some people. Statistics say change is good for about 10% of you. You like it. You're good with change, about 10% of you. Most of you in the middle just go along because of the 10%. Well, okay, I'll do that too, you know. And then there's about 20-ish percent or so in every group that just hates change, just don't want change. Well, we're in this building. We have to change. We have all kinds of things we're trying to figure out, like technology. Some of it's so basic. You know, we change one little thing in our sound system. It affects all of our sound techs and they're pulling their hair out. Here, I'll give you a little, this is a quick example. Our last building was a smaller room, a smaller auditorium than this meeting space. And we had an amplifier that we bought for $650 and it worked great in that room. Our amplifier for $650 worked like a champ. And we couldn't figure out in this room why we were having problems with some of our sound, and we had a sound professional come in and look at it and say, well, your amplifier is not strong enough. What do you mean it's not strong enough? We hear the whole room. Well, it's not strong. So he goes through his little big explanation, really, on why it needs to be a different amplifier. Okay, fine. How much is a different amplifier? $8,000. What? $650? $8,000? You know that's a used car? So I have to get my mind, this is a little thing, but I have to get my mind around this bigger building means bigger expenses. You know? And that's just an easy example. We're going through changes here. And they're not always easy changes. Sometimes it's the music. Sometimes it's the stage, you know, or the lighting, or the insert it, you know, the change. It's different than capital, or it's different than maybe where you used to be. It's a type of a change. And for us, we can't help navigate the changes from where it used to be, but just trying to navigate our own changes has been a challenge. Our greeters, emergency response team, how we do Oneg, Shabbat school. We can go on and on. The change has been really a big deal. It's been a big deal for the people who are paid. So those of you who call Judy during the week, our secretary, she's had to deal with a lot of changes. Ingrid, who came earlier, has had to deal with a lot of changes. I have to deal with a lot of changes. Then I know a number of you have been navigating this change thing. So what I'd like to do today, I just want to point out one particular aspect that might be helpful for you in this time, whether it's in life or whether you're on this heart journey with us here at Beth Messiah. Okay, Luke 6, we'll just dive into it. A good person produces good things. A good person produces good things. That's a very good statement. A bad person doesn't produce a whole lot of good things. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. So when it says heart, these are not talking about feelings. The heart is kind of this, and this is what the word heart means in this. If we go back and look at the original, you know, what does it all mean in this verse? Heart here means kind of that, the essence. So we would say our soul. This is probably pretty close to saying our soul, or in the modern day language, you might use the word soul. It is what drives us. For example, if you're a parent, you might be driven to protect your children without even thinking about it. What drives us? If you're a child, you love your parents. I mean, little children love their parents. They don't really think about it. They just do. There's something that just kind of drives them to love mom and dad. They don't really know why. They just love their mom and dad. Grandparents, you love your grandchild. You may not really know. You know why? You just do. You're just kind of driven to it. And I think that when we see the word heart here, that's what it's speaking at. What drives us? What is our driving force? A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, a good driving force in their life. Then an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart, if they have evil or not good driving force. What you say, flows from what is in your heart. You always kind of find out somebody, you just let them talk long enough. You know what I'm talking about? What is their driving force in life? Is it serving God? Are they kind in this? Or are they evil? Then, you know, we could come up with 1,000 examples of each. But you know the kind of person I'm talking about. What is their driving force? Because eventually it does come out of their mouth. And I know when people go through changes, I'll hear a lot of times this processing that they're doing through the change. I don't know if I like this. I think you might be out of your mind. Well, that's not really a kind statement, right? But they're learning how to just navigate, how to just be a driving force. Just do it for good. Trust God. The human heart, that driving force, is the most deceitful of all things. We sometimes, and this is another way to think about it, our emotions are great big fat liars. They really are. People who follow their emotions are following lies. A house built on lies. Emotions can change at the drop of a hat. Do you remember when you, and you don't need to answer this, especially if you're sitting by your spouse. Do you remember when you were younger and you really had the hot bananas for one person that you didn't marry? What happened to those emotions? You used to like that one person. Maybe you dated that one person, but you didn't marry that one person. Were those emotions so good? Were they so stable? Could you build a whole life on the emotions that you had for that one person? Or did they go away? Emotions are just emotions. And they come from a selfishness, an envy. They're not always coming from good places. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. The human heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. The Lord knows where we're at in this change journey. He knows what it's like for us to be here, whether we have good feelings or hard feelings, whether our driving force is kind of a mess trying to figure it out, or whether we got it all figured out and we're just going with Him. He is with us. You know, He didn't move us from that old place to here so we would fall apart. He moved from that old place to this place, and He really did do it all by Himself. I shared it a few weeks ago. How many of you are here when I shared a bit about how we got here? It was a miracle upon a miracle. And He really did move us here. Miracles only He gets credit for. He did it all by Himself without a single dollar from anybody and in a most amazing way. And He didn't move us here so we would fall apart. He didn't move us here and go, well, I've done my part. Good luck. None of that. He didn't do any of that. He moved us here because He has a plan. He has a vision for us. He had an idea. He knows where He wants us to go. You know, we talk about one of the expressions that I like in this big new building and plot of land of ours, 4 acres, whatever it is building is a shape of the vision that God's giving us. Because we've got this building to figure things out in. There's a lot of things we can do here at Beth Messiah that the building affords us all kinds of flexibility. We can have things in the old chapel, events in the old chapel. We can have the house, the grass. We're building an outdoor pavilion that we can do things in. This building is a vision. It's a picture of the vision. God didn't move us here for us to just wing it. God moved us here for us to be useful for what He has for us here. And the vision for us here. And it's like when the Israelites went in the land. He said, there you go, you're in the land. I'm done, I'm out. He did say this, though. He said, now you have to till the ground. And He put that on them. Now you have to till the ground. Now you have to learn to, and these are my words, to defend, to set up a system within the land of how you're going to do what you do. You have to divide the land. There's all of these types of things that had to happen. I believe a lot of the changes that we talk about are things that need to happen to support the vision that God's pulling us more deeply into. Same vision, but more deeply into understanding. But there has to be an individual element to it, and there has to be, of course, a corporate element to it. I'm not really sure which one I'm speaking on. That's why I'm calling this a heart journey. You have to figure out in these messages which is for you. I call this kind of the most ambiguous, clear message I think that there is. This whole journey, it's been like this for me. It's ambiguous and clear at the same time. He put us here, that's clear. The vision is clear. How do you and how do we walk in that vision? Ambiguous. Amen? So here we are. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this, but I'm going to tell you, I think that going through change, we have, there are three big enemies, three things that people experience when they hit change. And I mean here at Beth Messiah, my experience in the kingdom, the longer I've been a believer, the more I see these things on a repeat basis, and I'm just going to share some so we can walk out our vision in this new place and deal with the change in this new place. The first. Oh, I did it wrong. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. By the way, Joshua, this happens when Joshua takes over Israel. Moses has passed away. God's talking to Joshua. Now, here you go, young man. Let's go. Get it going. You're the one. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wouldn't you like God to personally say that to you? Amen. I would too. He does all the time in His word, doesn't he? That's a good thing that I just said. When we're dealing with change, we have to remember that we don't need to be afraid. I talked about this, my statement. I believe this firmly, that fear is the most accepted thing for believers nowadays. People tolerate fear in their life. They tolerate, well, I can't possibly talk to so-and-so. I don't know what they're going to say to me. They might get mad at me. I can't do this in my life because, oh, I'm a little afraid of that. Who's with us? We have a word that stood for thousands of years. We have, I mean, thousands of years we have this word. He is with. Do bad days happen? Sure they happen. But he's still with us. He's going to work those for his good. Someday we'll be with him in paradise. So what's the problem? I know fear is a funny thing. You know, I was thinking it naturally just a human being, how many things I'm afraid of. I have a hard time kind of addressing this. I know a number of you really are kind of like me in this. I mean, I ran with the bulls in Spain. I went skydiving and I like to go fast. I like vehicles that go fast. I don't like slow vehicles. I'm pretty sure they're sinful. I like things. I like, you know, even as I get older, I still like these things. I like to do things that are kind of out there, you know. There's not a lot that I think I'm really afraid of. If I know what I'm supposed to do, then I'll do it. I don't want to just go, don't stick me in the side of Everest and say, have fun, you know. You know, give me something to work from. But I don't think there's much I'm afraid of. And I know some of you are just like that. But isn't it interesting how when it comes to opening our mouth, we can be so fearful? Here's somebody can do X, Y, Z of the most dangerous and the craziest things in the world. But when we say, now open your mouth and stand up for the Lord, you can't do that. It's crazy what they do. We have God with us. If we're going to fully walk in this vision of this house, what God's given us, we have to deal with that fear. There are three big emotions that are proven emotions, feelings. We can't trust our feelings. They're proving to hijack our brains. One is anger. Anger, you ever driving down the road, somebody cuts you off? It's amazing how fast that anger comes, right? It just hijacks your whole way of thinking. Anger. One is lust. Hijack your, people will give up forever goals, life goals, for a moment of lust. Absolutely hijacks the brain. And the third brain hijacking, you know what it is? Fear. It doesn't matter if it's reasonable fear or an unreasonable fear. If the brain has fear, it's fear. I've known people who are, I think they're unreasonably afraid of things. It's a bee. Are you allergic? No, I just don't like them. And they go to fear. Really? A bee? You can just swat a bee. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you might not like bees or spiders. You ever seen somebody run away from a spider? I mean, run? I mean, how fast do they move, you know? Not that fast. When the fear kicks in, it's not reasonable. We've got to get control over fear. Now, how do you do that? That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other message. But there are ways to deal with fear. You just have to be intentional about it. This is not a New Year's resolution message. This is a following the Lord message. Don't be afraid. How do you get a hold of your fear? Start to figure it out. Do what you need to do to figure it out. If it's an unreasonable fear like a spider, man, we're not going to deal with a whole lot of spider stuff here. And I say unreasonable affectionately because of what I've just said. But if it's a big fear in your life about not having the courage to stand up and talk about the Lord, of not taking on a new ministry, maybe you're supposed to have a ministry that you have to do something out of the blue. You have to call the Jewish Community Center and say, I'd like to volunteer at your next fundraising campaign. Imagine that. I couldn't possibly do that. They're going to ask me everything about Beth Messiah. I will guarantee if you tell them about Beth Messiah, that will be the least of your problems. In other words, fear of the unknown, you want it to do. Deal with the fear. Maybe you're supposed to go get involved in the Jewish Community Center and be a fundraiser person just so they know you're not crazy. Do you understand what I mean by that? You long-term Bethites, you know what I mean. Non-believing Jews don't understand it, said Beth Messiah. We're a Messianic Jewish congregation. We're not crazy. We just think that Yeshua is the Messiah. Maybe you're supposed to try a new ministry. Fire up a nursery. We got a nursery. We didn't have a nursery a few months ago. Maybe you're supposed to try a whole new kind of ministry. Bring your idea to me. Bring it to my dad. Bring it to our elders. If you don't know who our elders are, it's Keith and Peter, and they're always wearing lanyards here after service. And say, I got this idea. Let them walk you through it. We have a process at Beth Messiah to help filter ideas. But don't let fear get in the way. Fear's a killer. This other one is, I think, just behind fear for anybody who's been a long-term believer. I don't need to spend a lot of time explaining this, but don't long for the old days. It's not wise, said Solomon, the wisest man in the history of the world. Don't long for the old days. I can't, but the old day thing, I can hold my own in my old day conversations. I can talk about the old days as a believer. I can talk about the old days in the Messianic community to a certain degree. I can talk about old days as a believer anywhere. I remember some of the glory days of these old days. And I've seen some of the most amazing things. And I tell people some of the stories I've seen, and I think they think I'm lying. So I found over the years that I selectively tell people. I want to make sure they're really listening so they know I'm not lying. You know, you see physical healings happen with your eyeballs. You see things that don't make any sense. And God moving in these ways that just crazy things. There was a time, there was a movie that came out a few years ago, Jesus People, Jesus Revolution. How many of you saw that? I'm just curious. Get a sense here. Maybe a third of the room. That was based on a true story in the 60s. An amazing thing happened at the end of the 1960s. An amazing thing in 1967 in June. Anybody tell me what happened in 1967 in June? I'll tell you. The Six-Day War. Why are we talking about this here? Because it has a lot to do with the old days. An amazing thing happened after it. I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, I can't prove it. I can't put my finger on it, but it's an attention getter to me. 1967, Israel thinks that she's going to be attacked by these nations that are around her. So she pre-attacks, and she does, and she throttles the nations. And just as importantly, I was going to say more, but I think just as importantly, Israel reclaimed Jerusalem. Israel had Jerusalem again. She should not have lost it after 1948. There was a war the Arabs fought, and they took Jerusalem from Israel, but she got it back. When that happened, something happened all over the world right after that. There was a massive, massive explosion of, in America, we call them Jesus people. What does that have to do with Beth Messiah? Well, in 1968, right after 1967 in America, is the recognized modern day, by most Messianic leaders, the Messianic relaunch of the Messianic movement in America. It happened in Cincinnati, Ohio, literally less than a year after Israel got her land back. The Messianic movement exploded. In fact, it was so amazing that a counterfeit, the adversary, the devil, always has a counterfeit when there's something big going from the Lord. And there was a big counterfeit movement that started afterward, the Black Hebrew movement. It's too much to talk about here, but it was a counterfeit to what God was doing in the Messianic movement in America. And these very first believers in 1968, these Jewish believers, the very first ones, were realizing that something special was going on with the Lord here in America. And it started to move. There was a great big church in California. If people loved the Lord and really pressed in, they saw more things happen back then that were unexplainable. All over the place, and we were around that. Now, all of that is, it doesn't matter today. I mean, I've been talking about the old days. It doesn't matter today. These are these days. These are the days that God chose to have us live in. These are the days that He wants us to be doing what He wants us to do. We can't relive those days. Those days, He did something sovereign. Hashem did something sovereign in Israel and in America. And we can't relive them. They were then. Everything is different. Do you ever notice the Lord doesn't repeat Himself twice? He just doesn't do it. Anytime there's a revival, it's always different each time. We never can anticipate what to do for revival. When people live in the old days, they never catch the current days. They try to make the current days just like the old days, which is fine But God doesn't do that. God just wants us passionate for Him. When the first revival happened in Acts 2, they were of one mind, of one purpose, of one heart. They had the same driving force in life to honor God. That was their driving force in Acts 2. And they were meeting for prayer, those two things, bloof, best revival in the history of the world. But we can't mimic that like them that way. Don't get caught in the old days. We can't. Change. Change, 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 change. What we were on 99th and Capitol was great for 99th and Capitol in those days. What you remember at other points in your life was great in those days. This is 2025, almost 2026, and God has us in these days. And His promises are just as good in these days as they were in those days. Finally, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Man, oh man, oh man. Don't be lazy. One of the translations talks about having zeal, you know, protecting your zeal, being zealous for the Lord, driving force. Here we go, here we go, here we go. There are people who will sit on the sides as believers and probably even in this room who are so, say, yes, I want to experience the Lord. I don't want to do anything, but I want to experience the Lord, but I don't want to do anything. I'm tired. I'm whatever. Don't be lazy. If you want to experience the Lord's movement in your life, go get busy. Don't wait. Because the Lord's moving. He always moves forward. Some people are so busy waiting, they just wait right by the Lord. Go, 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 go. This is a big, big, big recurrent thing for me. People will say, you know, why can't I experience the Lord? Do you pray? No. Do you read your Bible? No. Do you have ministry? No. Well, are you catching a theme here? Do you want to grow your ministry? Do you want to try something new? No, no, no. Well, I can tell you why you're not experiencing the Lord. Let's go. Let's go. Don't be a stick in the mud. Oswald Chambers said that way back in the day, some preacher from 18-whatever. I don't want to be 40 and be a stick in the mud. What he was saying is I don't want to be at a certain age in life and just be done. I always want to go forward with what the Lord has for me. Sometimes people over a certain age will say it's time for the younger people to take over. How do you think God feels about that statement? You tracking with me? And younger people, you know, at some point you got to get in the game, right? At some point, people who are older than you are going to think you're lazy. You know what I'm talking about. At some people, they're going to say, why aren't you guys helping? I don't know. Sometimes when people are young, they're like, I don't want to do that yet. Well, who do you think does do stuff around here if it's not you? In this place, everybody can get involved. We don't have like an age thing. Oh, I'm sorry, you're only 17. We're going to have to ask you to sit in the back. We don't do that here. Let's go. Jeremiah was 14. They believe he was 14 when he started prophesying in the book of Jeremiah. 14 years old. So if you're 14, we're going to use you to death if you want. We will. If you're 17 and you've never done anything, that means you're about 3 years too late. Let's go. So this is for people over a certain age to get busy and also people who are under a certain age to get busy. We can all be busy with the Lord. Don't be lazy. This is, again, I'm going to kind of wrap this up now. I'm just going to say, this is really a hard journey for me, personally for me. It has been, my mind has been challenged, I think, and I pray a lot. I pray very differently than I used to pray for us here. You know, it's one thing to pray for the building, and we prayed to end the lawsuit for years. If you don't know what that is, it is, again, please do find a long-term Bethite and have them tell you about this whole story. But we prayed for years about ending the lawsuit, and then we prayed for years, for a while about making this move, not years, but for a while about making the move. And we can't pray for making a move anymore, and I can't pray for the lawsuit to end anymore because that's all done. So what do we pray for us? And I found in my prayer life, more and more and more and more, it's just about finding where God is. And God, what do you want from us? here at Beth Messiah, what can we be and how do we live it out for you all the time, Lord? And so pray for that. You know, pray for what you can do and what you can grow in. It doesn't mean every single person needs to change everything in their life, but I do believe that a number of you here, you know exactly what I mean. You've had things knocking, kind of mentally knocking in your mind about to try things you could try, ideas about, well, maybe you should give this a shot. Maybe you've been sitting and you haven't done anything and you're wondering, well, is this the time? Yes, this is the time. You know, maybe you've thought about, maybe you felt overwhelmed. I don't know where to start, or I'm a little afraid to start. You know, get in there, start to deal with the fear. Talk to elders or Havarah leaders. Talk to my dad or me. Maybe some steps in starting to deal with fear. You can talk to others. There's others who have dealt with fear in their life and ministry. And just do it. I think you'll find that it's very enjoyable to be used by God. This is your time to plant crops. Israelites had to go through that mindset. This is our time to plant crops here in this address. Stretch. Try new things for the Lord. Give it a shot. Amen? Please stand up. Lord, we do seek you for this planting crop season of ours. Teach us. Show us, Lord. Reveal to us. Teach us how to walk through the fear. Teach us how to deal with change, how to be active in your hands. I know, Lord, you didn't move us to this building to just be in this building. You moved us here because you've got plans for us here. You have ambitions, so to speak. And we want your ambitions to be our ambitions. You sovereignly brought us here, God. We recognize that. And you sovereignly will take care of us. You sovereignly will lead us. And you will always be faithful. So help us remember these sorts of promises and these sorts of things of you, Lord, as we step out and we try. And we do new things. And we stretch our minds. And we tell people about you. Help in the homes, Lord. Everybody's got a home. They've got children in their home. Help them raise their children in this way. People whose children are out of the home, help them influence their children in this way. Help us be an influence force for you here and from this address, not just here in Menominee Falls, but through greater Wisconsin and all over the world, God, because you're worth it. Thank you, Lord, for this house, these people, and this assembly today. Please bless them, Lord. Hashem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarech Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav aliyecha v'yunecha. Yisei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Be blessed. Prayers are here. There are elders. And down the hall is Oneg and fellowship. Shmooze is